discussed last time the Mishnah Masech the Shabbos, the Gemara, the Klisheni Einim Mevasho. If you remember, one is about to put cold water into a hot Klisheni. We discussed taking a container of oil, the Maisa, the bathhouse, taking a container of oil and putting it in a Klisheni, where the Gemara told us explicitly that that was permitted because Klisheni Einim Mevasho. And that's the rule that the Mishnah mentions over here in Masech the Shabbos, Mevezim and Aleph, Ilfiz Vakadera Shavir Miroyschin. And a person is not allowed to put spices into a kli rishon even after it's been removed from the fire. A person is allowed to put spices, even though they haven't been cooked, into a ka'ara or a tamchoy. And Rashi there explained that that's mutter because it's a kli sheni. So one is allowed to put spices into a kli sheni, and this is the familiar rule which we discussed at length last time, the kli sheni ain't a mavasha. However, the Mishnah says in Masech the Shabbos, Kuf Mem Heil Mebeiz, which we've seen in different contexts, Kol Sheba Bechamim Mei Erev Shabbos, Shor Nasei Bechamim B'Shabbos. Anything that has been cooked before Shabbos is allowed to be reheated in a permissible fashion on Shabbos. We don't have to be concerned about Bishul because Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. However, then the Mishnah continues, Kol Sheloi Ba Bechamim Be'Erev Shabbos, anything that has not been cooked previously, you can dip it into hot water on Shabbos. Now, what kind of hot water are we talking about? It can't be a kli rishon. Kli rishon is mevasho. Even just to dip it in would be problematic. Rather, it must be we're discussing a kli sheni. But yet the Mishnah only says, you're only allowed to dip it into the kli sheni, but not to soak it. As opposed to shayre noisei b'chamim b'shabbos, which the Mishnah mentioned in the Reisha. So over here, even though klisheni in a mavashel, the Mishnah says only madich anoisei b'chamim b'shabbos. You can dip it in, but not soak it. So that's Tosis Kasha and Masech Shabbos, Daf Lamed Tes and Aleph. Why is it that it's only madichin? Why can't you even soak it in a klisheni? We know the rule, klisheni in a mavashel. We just saw it by the spices. We've seen it by water. We've seen it by oil. That klisheni in a mavashel. So Tosis has Masech Shabbos two opinions how to resolve this problem. Even to soak it in the klisheni should be mutter. Says Tosis, even in a klisheni, it's not permitted to soak it. Since the water is hot, it appears like bishul. Whether it's a marasayin or a bishul midrabbanan, we're going to discuss when we get to other aspects of mechzi kemavashel. But the concern over here is that it looks like bishul. But 1 minute, we just saw the Mishnah, Mebezim and Alf, one is allowed to put spices in a klisheni. Why are we concerned over there with Mechzik and Mevashel? So says Tosis, Hanudavka Tavon Chein Asuyin Lamatik as Hakadera. That's only with regards to spices, where that is only, you know, it's a tangential ingredient in the making of the overall dish. It's not the main ingredient. But like Mechzik and Mevashel, we're not concerned with Mechzik and Mevashel. We must say water and oil. There's also no concern of merci kimavashel. It doesn't look like you're heating up the cold water. It probably looks like you're cooling down the hot water. So there's no merci kimavashel by adding a little bit of hot water, by even putting a little bit of oil in the hot, you know, in the hot water. We must say over there also that there's no merci kimavashel. But certainly the spices, Tosis addresses explicitly, that that's because that's lamatika sekadera. It's there in order to enhance the dish, but it's not the main ingredient of the dish, and therefore there's no concern of merci kimavashel. So Tosis here places a serious limitation on the head of klisheni and mevashel. That's only that is only to soak items in a klisheni. But generally speaking, even to that's only to dip items in a klisheni. But to soak them in a klisheni, we need to leave it there. We should be concerned always with merci kemavashel. That's seriously going to limit our application of the rule of klisheni and mevashel. Then Tosis goes on and mentions a second possibility. Inami, what are we being so careful about the language? Who wasn't sharing? When the Mishnah said madichin, you can dip it in a klisheni. It didn't mean davka madichin. You can even be sharing klisheni in a mavasho. So the second opinion in Tosis is much more permissive view, or much more a broad view, but when we can apply klisheni in a mavasho, that we can apply not only by spices, not only by water, where there's no concern of merci kemavasho, by all items, you have to even soak it in the klisheni. So Magen Avraham claims that the Shulchan Aruch is machmir for this concern of merci kemavasho, even though it's two opinions in Tosis. When the Shulchan Aruch Simin Shin Yerches Sifdal quotes the Mishnah Masech the Shabbos from Daf Kuf Mem Hey, the Shulchan Aruch says Vim Hudavar Yavish Lo Nizbasu Mulufnei Hashabbos. That's Kol Shelo Ba B'Chamin, the safe of the Mishnah. Ein Shorin Oisai B'Chamin B'Shabbos Val Maldichin Oisai. You cannot soak it, but you can. You, I'm sorry, you cannot soak it, but you can dip it. So you see, the Shulchan Aruch seems to imply that he's only, it's not, you know, it is Davka. When it said Madikin, it means Madikin and not Sherin. The second opinion in Tosfos is held Madikin, but who had in Sherin? The Shulchan Aruch says, no, Madikin, but not Sherin. I say, B'chamim B'Shabbos, you can dip it in, but you can't soak it. Why can't you soak it in hot water on Shabbos? So the Mishnah Berurah there explains the name of the Magen Avraham, V'afil B'Klisheni Nami Yosel Lishrois Demerzi Kimabashel. It looks like you're cooking v'loidami letavum b'siftes. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch seems to be concerned with mechzi kimavashel. And at least that's the way the Magen Avraham interpreted it. When the Mishnah said madichen, it's madichen davka and not sheirin. And because we're concerned with mechzi kimavashel. The Shulchan Aruch seems to echo this position as well later on. But Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Yud Ches Sif Hei, Yesh Misha Omer. This is a sif we've addressed already. It has to do with putting baked items into soup. So we quoted already the big machlekes harishayim between the Urayim and the Ravio, whether or not there's, even though ain bishul acha bishul, bedover yavish, it can't be chai for bishul again. Once it's been cooked, it's permitted to reheat it in a permissible fashion. But if it's only been baked, then later on to soak it in water, even though yesh ain bishul acha bishul, there is yesh bishul acha rafio. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Urayim, Yesh Mishayim, the Dafer Shenefa or Nitzla, if it's only been roasted or baked, in Bishlo Acha Kach B'mashke, Yesh V'mishum Bishol, there is a concern of Bishol, Bishol Acha Rafiyah. Va'os Alitain Pas, we'll skip the brackets for the moment, Afiyu B'Klisheni Shayat Sogat Esbo. You can't take bread and put it into even a klisheni of hot soup. Then he says, V'yesh Matirin. But why does the Shulchan Aruch say that we have to be concerned with putting bread in hot soup, even though it's in a klisheni? I understand the HB Shalach Arafiyah, that's if it's in a klirish and that's mavashah. Why even in a klisheni? And then he quotes those who are matirim. So the Magen Avraham explains, the sphere who the ain klisheni mavashah, those who are matir disagree, not about fundamental grounds that they hold, ain bishalach arafiyah. No, there is bishalach arafiyah. But even if there is bishalach arafiyah, it's mutter in a klisheni, because klisheni ain't a mavashah. But then he goes on to quote that the Shulchan Aruch, in the first opinion, said it's prohibited even in a klisheni. Why should it be prohibited even in a klisheni? Says the Mishnah of the Magen Avraham, the mechzi kimavashel. We have to be concerned with mechzi kimavashel. Ach hayesh matirim servim lahokok there, cheni shebetaisvis. The other opinion held it was mutter in a klisheni, they're not concerned with mechzi kimavashel. So should we accept, which opinion in Taisvis we accept? Perhaps is the two opinions over here in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Hei. In Sif Dalet, it seems to be saying we are concerned with mechzi kimavashel, or if that's the way the Magen Avraham interpreted it. But over here, it seems to be two opinions about putting the bread in the soup. Is one allowed to put it into a klisheni, or is one not allowed to put it into a klisheni? It depends on whether or not we should accept the first opinion in Tosfos. Are we concerned with mechzi kimavashel in a klisheni? The opinion in the Shulchan Aruch that held was us is concerned with mechzi kimavashel v'yesh matirim, passing like the other opinion in the Tosfos, that we're not concerned with mechzi kimavashel. The Shulchan Aruch, though, seems to have been chayshish for putting the bread in the soup, even in a klisheni, not only, or perhaps not at all, because of mechzi kimavashel. If we trace it back, why the Shulchan Aruch is chayshish not to put bread in a klisheni, it's not only because of mechzi kimavashel, but there's another limitation, or perhaps a possible limitation for the application of klisheni in a mavashel, not only because we have to be concerned with mechzi kimavashel, that wouldn't apply to spices, of course, as we mentioned, that's not the main ingredient, it wouldn't apply to water, which looks like you're cooling it down, not heating it up, but where there is most items, it will be a problem with mechzi kimavashel, but the Shulchan Aruch seems to over here been machmir by putting the bread in the soup, not really because of mechzi kimavashel, but for a different concern. And another limitation on the heter of klisheni, and that is because the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos Mebeis that there are certain items that do get cooked in a klisheni. The Gemara has a discussion about salt. The salt in the times of the Gemara was not cooked, obviously. We assume that to put salt, even in a klirishin, is permitted because they already are cooked. And ain't bishul acha bishul b'dover yavish. We had a machlokes, what about dissolvable items? Are dissolvable items to be treated as they are now, b'asher husham, that it's a dover yavish, and ain't bishul acha bishul? Or should we say, once it gets dissolved, especially if you're putting it on a liquid, if you're putting salt on a dry item, you wouldn't have this problem, but if you're putting, let's say, salt in a liquid, in your soup, so then maybe we should say, since after it gets dissolved, it'll be a liquid, so yesh bishalach habishabadavalach. You remember we had this discussion. Dissolvable items assessed as they are now, or after they've been dissolved and is treated as a davalach, should be treated as a davayovish. So the most assume, or we until recently assumed salt, or our contemporary salt, has all been cooked like our sugar, and it should be subject to that. The machlekes, a dissolvable item, treated as a davayovish, or they treat as a davalach. In more recent times, they've discovered that the salt is not cooked. The salt is roasted. It's dried, like heated by a fire. But it's not cooked. So maybe it's not cooked in water. And in the salt, there's a chemical that they put that was never cooked in order to make sure that the salt doesn't clump together. In the older days, they used to use rice for this, but now they add a chemical to the salt to make sure it doesn't clump together, and that's never been cooked. So on the chemical that they add, this is a big discussion in the Orcha Shabbos. Contemporary Paiskim like discussing the issue now of the salt. Is salt, but forget about the issue about dissolvable items. Maybe our salt has never been cooked. It's like raw salt. It would be the same discussion as the time of the Gemara. So the Orcha Shabbos already writes in the first parak. He says the chemical that they add to the salt is not roi lachila. That's not even, you know, that itself is not adding to the flavor of the salt. It's really negligible in the salt. So we don't have to be concerned with that chemical that they add to the salt. But our salt has not, most of the salt has not been cooked. It's been roasted. So maybe we should say, even though ain bishul achar bishul b'davar yavish, there is bishul achar afiyah. So even if we'll treat it as a davar yavish, all it is has been roasted, or you know, if it would be bread, it would be baked. So yesh bishul achar tzli. If you remember, we're machmer l'chadchila, the yesh bishul achar tzli. That itself was a further machlekes, but we're machmer on that. So if maybe we have to be concerned that yesh bishul achar tzli with regards to the soul. That's a more contemporary discussion. So many are mekel because of this discussion over here in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos. Even if there is yesh bishul achar tzli, and our salt, even if we're going to treat it as a davar yavish, even if we're going to treat it as it is, you know, that it's a solid item, it's never been cooked, all it has been roasted in yesh bishul achar tzli, but there's a further machlokes, even if salt is raw, does salt get cooked even in a kli rishon? Even if the salt is raw, does it get cooked in a kli rishon? You look over here, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, mebeis. So Rabbi Yosef Lameima, Rabbi Yosef thought to say, Melech Harehu Ketavlin. That salt is like every other spice, and a kli rishon gets cooked, and a kli sheni doesn't get cooked. Amalei Abaye, Tani Reb Chiya, Melech Eina Ketavlin, salt is not like other spices. The kli sheni nami bishlo. It's more sensitive, it even gets cooked in a kli sheni. Then the same discussion in Ikadamri, but here, the Tani Reb Chiya is just the opposite. Reb Yosef thought it's like every other spice. Kli Rishon, you know, it gets cooked. The Kli Sheni, not. And then Tani Reb Chiya, Melech Eina Ketavlin, the Kli Rishon, Nami Loi Bishla. Even the Kli Rishon, it doesn't get cooked. So it's two extremes. Melech is definitely not like the other spices. Either it's much more sensitive, or it's or it doesn't even get cooked even in a Kli Rishon. How should we paskin? So it's a machlekes, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Shin yurches siftes, kli rishon, mevashel, kol zman sheyad tzor geres boi, lefichach osu liten metoich etavlin, you're not allowed to put the spice into a kli rishon, aval melach muter liten l'soichai. You can't put salt in the kli rishon as long as the kli rishon has been removed from the yesh, because this is the a second opinion in the Gemara, the Ikad Amri, that salt doesn't even get cooked in a kli rishon. Then the Rambam disagrees, yesh oisrim, is machmer, like the first opinion in the Gemara. We have to be chashiv even putting salt in a kli sheni because kozman shiyad se lettuce boy, because salt is more sensitive than other spices. So lechatchilo we're machmer not to put uncooked salt even in a kli sheni. Salt gets cooked even in a kli sheni, but it's a machlekes. So since it's a machlekes, how to treat salt even when it's uncooked? Is it harder? You know, it doesn't get cooked even in a kli rishon, or is it more susceptible to cooking? It gets cooked even in a kli sheni. So since that already is a machlekes, maybe it doesn't even get cooked in a kli rishon, and our salt has all been roasted, even though it hasn't been cooked, and there's a machlekes, yesh bishul achar tzli, and we're machmer on that, but to put these two chumras together, that seems a little bit too far. So that's why the Orcha Shabbos is meiko with regards to our salt, which has already been cooked. You could certainly put that even in a kli rishon. We don't have to be concerned putting these two chumras together. But just taking a step back, what emerges over here is that, at least according to one opinion, l'chachil or machmer that way, according to the Ramah, that we have to be choshes that salt gets cooked even in a kli sheni. So you see that even though kli sheni ate a mavashel, there are certain items that do get cooked in a kli sheni. We know by the you know, at the same time, that there are certainly items that don't get cooked in a kli sheni. What is that? Water The Gemara said, you can put cold water into a klisheni of hot water. We spent time on that Gemara. Then we also saw the Maizu with the Beis HaMerechatz, where Rebbe told him, take the oil and put it in a klisheni. The Gemara said, Shmami no tlas. One of them was klisheni in a mevasho. So we see oil, we see water. Doesn't get cooked in a klisheni. We know that. But salt over here, the Gemara says, at least according to one opinion, does get cooked in a klisheni. So some things get cooked in a klisheni, and some things not. Look over here, the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yurches Sif Yud Beis, Mutter Litzek Tzoynein L'Teichamen, V'hu Shalo Yibaklirishin, you're allowed to put water into hot water, cold water into hot water, as long as it's not a klirishin. And then the Shulchan Aruch continues, Mutter Litzek Kiton Shomai Moshe Sharmaskin, B'klirishin, Yishayish B'mayim Chamim, Ava B'klirishin Osir. So water, oil, even Sharmaskin, which we'll get back to, don't get cooked in a klirishin, that's for sure. Salt, some held it does get cooked in a klirishin. What should we do about all other items? How should we treat all other items? So the Beis Yosef, this is where the Shulchan Aruch, when he's discussing the bread and the soup, gets the chumrah of klisheni, because he's not sure how to treat bread. Should bread be treated like salt, that it does, kale abishol, things that are susceptible, you know, easily cooked, and maybe that gets cooked even in klisheni, or maybe we should treat all other items like water and like oil, that they don't get cooked in a klisheni. So if you look over here, the Beis Yosef, Shin Yud Ches Sif Hei, he's quoting the Urayim, that's the opinion of the Rebbe. Hilchah Yizar Adam Shlo Yitain Pasa Fuya Fiyah BeKlisheni. The Makom Sheyasal that as well. You can't put bread even in a klisheni. BeKlisheni Shekaz of Arav Doima Shetayfis Iker the Yesh Dvar Mishamish Basham. Not BeKlisheni. That's because we know there are things that can cook in a klisheni, such as salt. VeEinanu BeKiyam BeDvarim HaKalgum. We're not sure which is what are the items that are susceptible, easily susceptible to cooking, and what are not. VeRoy LaHakmir BeKulon. You have to be careful to be chayshish for every item that's not water, that's not the oil, to be chayshish that perhaps gets cooked in a klisheni. The yesh dvarim hamishbashim beklisheni ve'einanu bekiyim berakim v'kashim lekach tzarich lizar bepas. Therefore, you have to be careful with your bread not to put it in your soup. So the Shulchan Aruch, when he quoted the chumrah about not putting your bread into your soup, it sounds like he's motivated not because of a mechzik of avashel, or perhaps not only because of mechzik of avashel, but also because of Kali Abishol. And it seems like bread is perhaps an item that could get cooked in a klisheni, and since the Yireim was chayshish, yesh bishol achar afiyah, he was chayshish as well, that you can't put your bread even into a klisheni of soup, not only into a klibishon of soup. What about other items that aren't bread? The Shulchan Aruch was already machmir on the bread in the soup. Bread is Kali Abishol. At least perhaps it's Kali Abishol. We have to be chayshish it's Kali Abishol. What about everything else in the world that's not water, that's not oil? We know water and oil don't get cooked in a klisheni. What about other items? So look back at Ois Hay, the Magen Avraham writes, Sifkat in Yud Ches. Over there on the second line of Ois Hay. The Yesh Dvarm Shem is Bashan Boy. There are things that get cooked even in a klisheni. Ve'ein Anu Bekiyin. We're not sure what are the items that do get cooked in a klisheni. One not. Vim Kein B'Shar Dvarm Nami Yesh LaHachmer. You have to be machmir not only for bread. The Shulchan Aruch already threw bread under the bus. Yeah, bread is like salt. Now the Magen Avraham is piling on. Eat not only bread, everything that's not water and oil, you cannot put, soak it in a klisheni. Not only because of mefsikim of Hashem, but also because of kali abishol. Chutz mimayim v'shemim k'lukamam v'simin zeh, says the Sharetzin, except for water and oil, which we know is allowed. So over here the Chazanish steps in. You know, on the chumrah of the Magen Avraham. We know bread, we are chayshish. The Shulchan Aruch is already chayshish about bread. But the Shulchan Aruch only mentions bread. So look at the Chazon Ish, Simon and Beis, Ois Yirches, over here, Ois Yud, the Chazon Ish writes, V'shaminon, Dein Kli Rishon Tanai B'ikam Alech Sabish. So you see that there are things that can get cooked even in Klisheni. Shechein hu ha-metzias b'roiv dvarm shem izbashon b'klisheni. Most things don't get cooked in a Klisheni. Avadov ha-rach, noyach lizbashon, that's easily cooked in izbashon b'klisheni. There are some things that get cooked in a Klisheni. So yesh bo mishum bishul af b'klisheni. V'gam matur moide b'ikar adavar. Even the second opinion, the Shulchan Aruch will agree, the yesh matir to put bread into soup will agree there are items that get cooked in a klisheni. Yel desvir lei, de'ein lanu lochish b'pas. The second opinion, the Shulchan Aruch, was not chayshish for pas. It's not because of the two opinions about mafsik and mavasho. It's because it's a machlekesh, should we be chayshish, whether pas is kali abishul or not. Kevin l'gom etzin v'gomer, abu melach. Maybe we should say the other extreme. Whenever we have two things, which we know about. Water and oil don't get cooked in a klisheni. Salt does. Maybe we should say everything is mutter until proven usser. Why do we say everything is usser until proven mutter? El b'melch ein lanu lochus shudvar macherim. We shouldn't be koshish for other things. Because of our Mishnah Berurah b'shem Magen Avram, the yesh lahachem b'chol davar shein hater mevur b'gemar. We have to be machmer on every item. Miu yesh loymar came in the mind v'shem mevur b'gemar. Shem is bashlin. We know water and oil doesn't get cooked. Ein lahachmer rak b'pas. Says the Chazinish, no, he disagrees with the Magen Avram. Only pas. Why does the Shulchan Aruch only quote it by pas? Pas, we have to be chayshish, because since it has, you know, it's air pockets or whatever, it's softer, that maybe gets cooked in a klisheni, but not other items. Just pas. Everything else is mayim v'shemen. There might be, you know, a larger, more hashkafik machlek is going on over here. Are all things, you know, usser until proven mutter? You know, that the mitzvahs are here to form restrictions, and we elevate ourselves by restricting ourselves and withdrawing from Olam Hazeh, or are the mitzvahs here to enhance life, and but not necessarily to make it more difficult, to make it happier and more meaningful, but not necessarily to impose restrictions, in which case everything perhaps is mutter until proven usser. You see these two, these two attitudes lurk throughout halacha in general. Just as an example, it's a big machlekes, famous machlekes between the Chazanish and Brisker Rav. When you're separating trumas and maaseres, so you're supposed to separate it when it's a fruit. You know, when it's in the way that it grows. Tirosh v'yitza, the pasuk says. What if it's been changed? Let's say I take tevel oranges and I make it into orange juice. So it's still aser because yaitzim and aser was derived from tevel. So which, you know, produce which has trumas and maaseres removed from it, which needs to karis. So, but it's still aser, you know, or maybe it's still aser. It could, in theory, still be aser. Can you separate trumas and maaseres from orange juice? It's not the raw fruit in the way that it grew. So, Brisker Rav says, no, you can't anymore. That's it. You lost the opportunity to separate trumas and maaseres. So then, if it's not tevel, is the orange juice mutter? No, it's aser, and there's no way to go about fixing it. And Chazanish argued. He said, you can't say if it's tevel, there has to be a way to be mafresh trumas and maaseres. If it's no way of to be mafresh trumas and maaseres, it can't be tevel. It can't be that the Torah would give us an item that there's no way of removing the Easter tevel. The Torah would just wouldn't do such a thing to make life that difficult. And the Brisker Rav said, what are you talking about? That's what the mitzvahs are here for, is to, you know, restrictions in life, and we elevate ourselves, by withdrawing from Olam Hazeh and drawing ourselves closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. A famous machlek is by the date line. There's been many shittas where the date line is, but the Chazanish and Brisker Rav agreed basically where it is. But there was a machlekes, the Brisker Rav held that it cut through continents. You can have on one side of the street in Australia, it could be Saturday, on the other side of the street, it could be Sunday. And you didn't have a problem with that. And Chazanish said, it can't be that the date line cuts straight through a continent. On one side, it's one day, and the other side is the other day. How can you run life like that? Brisker Rav said, what are we talking about? What's the kasha? One side of Shabbos, the other side not Shabbos, and figure it out. That's the way, you know, the mitzvahs work. So you see this attitude of the Chazanish, perhaps in general. Chazanish, didn't want to take the stance that everything was usher until proven mutter. Rather, the Chazanish had a more permissive, attitude in general, it seems like. And therefore, the Chazanish said, why should we say everything is usher until proven mutter? Maybe everything is mutter until proven usher. It is interesting that the Shulchan Aruch only brought, the Shulchan Aruch was aware of this issue also. The Urayim brought it up. We know, how should we treat items in the middle of water and oil, which we know don't get cooked, and salt, which we know does get cooked. Or at least according to some, we're chayshish, that salt gets cooked in a klisheni. So the Beis Yosef already wasn't sure about how we should treat all the items in between. He quoted from the Urayim, we're not sure. That's why we're chayshish by bread. Why did the Shulchan Aruch say we should be chayshish for all items? Why did the Shulchan Aruch only say it by the bread? So Rabbi Willock suggested, and it's the Sefer of Mordechai, that perhaps it's because the Shulchan Aruch, going back to the Lumdus we discussed last time, why is it the klisheni in a mavasha? We see things get cooked in a klisheni. Water is yatzer lezban. If you add water to it, it will also become yatzer lezban. It does get cooked. We see it gets cooked. So we explain that it's because it's too far removed from the fire. The klisheni's walls were not heated by the fire, so it's like you're cooking without a fire. The equivalent of cooking in the sun, which is permitted on Shabbos because ein derech bishul b'kach. It's not the normal way to cook in the sun. We mentioned Rav Moshe held, if it becomes the normal way, even though there's no fire there, it would be chayav and bishul. We discussed the immersion heater and the microwave. If it becomes derech bishul b'kach, so it could be an iser bishul midaraisa, and now it becomes derech, because it's the normal way to cook. So perhaps, we mentioned the last time with the baths, if you have a klisheni where it is the normal way to heat up cold water, so then it could be there is a potential problem with a klisheni. The only reason klisheni is allowed is because ain't derech mishu b'kacha. Cooking in the sun is not normal. But if it would become the norm, then it would be the heter of klisheni wouldn't apply. So Rabbi Luke suggested perhaps that's why the Shulchan Aruch only brought the chumra of klisheni by that klisheni. You have to be chayshish that there are certain items that get cooked in a klisheni kalei abishol by bread. Because where do you ever cook bread? Where's bread ever cooked? So Rabbi Luke used to bring a raya from the name of the store Dunkin' Donuts. Where do you dunk your donut? You only dunk it in a cup of coffee. What is a cup of coffee? Klisheni. Nobody dunks their donut in the pot of coffee, which is a klishen. You dump it in a second cup. Where do you ever dip bread, if you dip bread? So according to the Iranian, the Yesh Bishul Al-Kharfiyah, there is cooking after baking. Where do people dip bread? Do they put it in a klishen? No, generally speaking, people, if they're going to cook bread, they cook it in a klisheni. So maybe that's why the Shulchan Aruch limited the chumrah of Kalei Abishul to bread, because that's derech bishul bekach in a klisheni, but that wouldn't necessarily then serve as a license to extend it further to all Kalei Abishul. Perhaps that's what the Chazon Ish might argue. Yeah.
He uses Dunkin' Donuts as an example, or that's an example?
That's his raya.
That's his raya.
For people look, that's a raya.
But then if you look at it, though, unless you're getting a strict coffee, they pour it into a cup where they put all the schmutz in, and then they put it into the cup they serve you. As in, they take it from the coffee machine, they pour it into a cup, and then they put in the milk and the sugar and the frappuccino and everything else.
That's only if you get a fancier drink, like a thing which is steamed. If you get a Hawaiian coffee, they put it in straight
from...
Right,
but how often does someone go on a Dunkin' and not get some other thing in there?
Ah, come on.
Right? Yeah. Like, you do a study, but like...
Most people, yeah. I still think the norm is the regular coffee, yeah.
The example by
Dunkin'
Donuts is only
Madichin.
It's not
Shorin, though. So even Shorin, where do you put bread? Have you ever put bread in a klirishin? I guess you say yes, and you make matzo balls. Okay. But I think if you ever soak your... Even if you soak your bread, even if you're going to take your bread and put it in your soup and soak it there, which are people who do that, right? Take your challah. You don't put it in the pot of soup. You're going to put it in a bowl of soup. That's where you do it. So perhaps that's why the Shulchan Aruch only brought... It is interesting, you know, it's compelling. Why did the Shulchan Aruch, who was aware of this problem, only bring the chumrah of Kali Abishul by bread? Why didn't the Shulchan Aruch already say what the Magen Avraham said and extend it to other items? So perhaps it's because he drew the line at bread. That's what the Chazon Ish is making the point. Why should we say everything is usher until proven mutter? So he also draws the line at bread. But why? Why would you draw the line at bread? So maybe we'll at least provide some... perhaps a fundamental argument that it's because bread, if you're going to cook it anywhere, you're going to cook it in a klisheni. Because of this line of reasoning, or this line of inserting the lumdus back into the conversation, so we came out not only with perhaps a kula over here, and then perhaps we only, we primarily have to be chayshish for kalei abishul with regards to bread, but it would lead to a chumra by tea. The Mishnah Berurah over here has a very long discussion. I gave it to you over here. Oisir Beis. This is a serious snippet, but it's much, much longer. It's a whole page in the Dapim of the Mishnah Berurah, which is kedai to go through. It really is a chazara for all of the items we've been discussing the last two or three shiurim. But the Mishnah Berurah has a long discussion about how to make tea. So what's the usual way you would make tea? So the usual way you would make tea is put the tea bag in the cup and pour the hot water over the tea. If you don't know how to make tea, then you put the water in and insert the tea bag. After, real tea drinkers know that you want the tea to get cooked by the hottest water possible. And that is, if you first put your tea bag in, and then you pour the hot water over it. So the Mishnah Berurah was aware how to make tea. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah begins with that possibility. That's certainly a problem. Because Iroh is Mevashu, the Kaimulan Iroh Mevashu Kedei Klipa. So he said, fine, what's next best? Put your tea bag into a klisheni. We can't do that. If I feel a mirror to lead in a sali ati, we'll take a kli, achasher, acham, and lesecha, kadeshia, aramayim, shen klisheni, so you'll be dealing with a klisheni. Also, because the kaimon besiv zed, the dover, shalobo, bacham, of mea shabbos, ain't sharna, so be shabbos, so feel be klisheni. Can't put in a klisheni either because the Magen Avraham said a mechzi kimavasho, or because everything we have to assume is kalei abishol. Bread is an example, not the end of the story. It means any other item that's not water and oil, we have to be chayshish, is kali. Abishon does get cooked in a klisheni. Mishnah Berurah accepts both of those limitations on the heter of klisheni and mavasho. So we have to be consumed with mechzi kimavasho, we have to be consumed with kali abishon. So therefore, The Mishnah Brura says, you know what, this tea you can't even put in a klisheni. So how then do you go about making your tea? So Mishnah Brura gives two possibilities. The first is, cook the tea bag before and use a used tea bag on Shabbos. Says, so you could cook the tea bag already by pouring hot water over it. That's not ideal, though, because Eroi is only Mavashel Kedei Klipa. When you put in the Klisheni might be Mavashel, or you're going to put in a Klirishin again on Shabbos, even though the tea leaves are Yavish, maybe it's only been cooked Kedei Klipa. Now you're going to put in a Klirishin. It's going to get cooked Kedei Kulo. So that's his concern. So therefore, you know what he says? Yoyser Toiv. He says the best way. You have to cook it fully before Shabbos and make a tea concentrate. Make what's called tea essence. And then this tea essence, mutala lahasa gam meha tea essence, elu hatsayim wasecha kli zegufa. Then you can put your tea essence into your hot kli sheni. You can take cold tea essence, which has already been cooked, and put it into your hot klisheni. And people know how to drink tea, know that you're really supposed to have milk in the tea. Real tea drinkers don't drink herbal tea. You're going to have milk, which was heated. I don't know if he's talking about pasteurization, but I don't know if it'll become reached over there by this time. But okay, well, let's say he's talking about that. Milk that has cooled down, meaning it was once heated. So if the milk has cooled down, you can put that in, I'm sorry, in your hot klisheni. So you can put your milk, which was once heated, your hot tea, your cold tea essence, which was once heated, because even though yesh bisha chabisha, but davalach, the Mishnah Brura assumes that that was a chumra, and therefore you can put that into a hot klisheni, and that's the best way, according to the Mishnah Brura, to make tea. The Mishnah Brura does say, though, he's concerned with a chashash of tzviya ba'echlim, which has nothing to do with what we're discussing. If you have clear water, and then I pour cold tea essence into it, I've dyed the water, which Mishnah Brura is concerned about. So therefore, he recommends the best of the best, mehudar shebe mehudar, mahadran shebe mahadran, is to have hot tea essence. Then I put a little bit of tea essence, hot tea essence, into the cup first. Then I have insert my, dilute it by putting water from a klirishin into it. So instead of dyeing the water, I'm diluting the tea essence. But in order to do that, you have to have hot tea essence. So that's what the Mishnah Brura says is the best of the best. But what is acceptable in the eyes of Mishnah Brura is to take cold tea concentrate and put it into a hot klisheni. Yeah.
How come you don't say, according to his first suggestion, that it's like a monoshach? Either you're concerned that you're especially klipa or it's kalibishal?
I don't follow you.
It's not.
What do you mean?
Isn't the problem with using a used tea bag that you use only basha klipa?
Right.
So
use it fully.
You did it the first time. So
No. Fully used tea bag is garbage. That he's not. Yeah, he's saying just pour hot water over it. Now we can call it cook.
Okay.
I think a fully used tea bag. He was then you might as well have tea essence. Right. That's where he goes with it. I think. Yeah.
How does making the essence hot solid tzvi issue?
Because then you're going to put your tea essence in first. See, if your tea essence is cold, I can't pour from a klirishin into the tea essence. Tea essence is cold, and I'm pouring on it from a klirishin. So we mentioned last time the Bi'ur Halacha quoted those who are meiko, that even though Iver is mavashel, not in liquids, that's only solids, because they all get mixed and get cooked in a klirishin. Mishnah Brura Lechachil doesn't accept that. So you can't pour from a hot klirishin onto cold liquids. In the end, if in the end of the day we'll all be Yatzaletas bone, you sure hope your tea is going to be Yatzaletas bone. So you're going to pour from hot klirishin into cold tea essence. So that's a problem with Bishul. You're going to have to put the water in first, then the tea essence. Now you're dyeing the water. So better would be to have hot tea essence. Now I could pour from a klirishin into my hot tea essence. That's the best of the best. Yeah.
How do you get the hot tea essence?
You have to have a second Shabbos urn of hot tea essence. Pain, yeah.
So tea is not considered a tavlin here then?
Chashuv point. We'll get to your point in a second. Okay, excellent. Rav Moshe makes your point. Excellent. Okay, I think though the Mishnah Brura over here, by the way, parenthetically, is going l'shitasai. The Mishnah Brura assumed, why can I put kol tiyesens into a hot kli sheni. Why don't it have to be chayshish that the kol tiyesens is mikali abisho? He's chayshish, everything is mikali abisho. Is because the Mishnah Berurah is going l'shitasa, he really held that according to the Ramah, ein bishal acha bishal b'davalach. And just if it cooled down, we have to be chayshish, you're going to confuse it with an item that was never cooked. So you can't cook it now again for the first time on Shabbos. But to put it into a klisheni, to go that far, he wasn't willing to go. But according to the Magen Avraham, if you remember, we discussed at the time, according to the Ramah, who interpreted within the Ramah, not that the Ramah was really held ein bishalach abishah b'davalach. The Ramah really held the age bishalach abishah b'davalach. Just he was disagreeing that it's only once it's cooled down that it's ozalei bishuloi. That's when the first bishul is no longer recognizable, and that's when you, if you would reheat it to be chayfa bishul again, so then you should really have a problem with heating even cold tea essence in a hot klisheni. Let's be chayshish at the cold tea essence, which according to the Ramah, at least according to some, there's bishol deraisa again. You shouldn't put it into a klisheni because perhaps cold tea essence is mikali abishol. If you really want to, you know, go all the way over here, you could really say that. That's why Moshe Koa, Rabbi Wilk, was always machmer to have, if I remember correctly, two urns. There was one urn of water and one urn with tea essence in it. In my tkufa, that's the way it was. And had hot tea essence. I don't think he was chayshish for the tzviya ba'eichlin. He was chayshish that perhaps tea essence is mikale abisho, and therefore you shouldn't put it in even to a klisheni. You look, you could say, according to the Chazanish, it's not a concern. It's only bread that's kale abisho. We don't have to be chayshish about tea essence. And many interpreted the Magen Avraham differently, you know, the Rambam differently, that ain't bishalach bishalach b'davalach, but okay. One, if you want to go that far, you can go that far. Yeah. What about milk then? We'll get to milk then. How do you put milk in your coffee? We will get an answer for that also. Okay, so, but that's how the Mishnah Berurah goes about making tea. What is absent from this discussion, and the Mishnah Berurah has a doctoral dissertation on making tea on Shabbos on here. What is lacking in this entire discussion? Which everybody knows. How do you make tea, Shabbos? How do you make tea? Kli shlishi! What happened to Kli shlishi? And the Ramah was aware of that. The Mishnah Berurah is aware of Kli shlishi. That's mentioned. That's on the record. Look back. Ois hey. Shulchan Aruch says, Shin yud ches sif hey. When the discussion about putting bread in the soup, there were those who were mata be klisheni. Then look back at the fourth line in the Ramah. V'yesh ma'akiyon afil be klirishin. There are those who allow you to put bread in soup, even when the soup is a klirishin, they're not klishish, they're like the Rav Yoh, that ain't bishalach rafiyah. V'nagu lizar l'chachil shalol yitim pas, afil be klisheni. Says the Ramah, we're klishish for the rave, not to put bread even in klisheni. What about a klishlishi? Ube klishlishi mitzadet aprima godim lohokel. That's why it's so important if your soup bowl is a klishlishi and the ladle is the klisheni, or your soup bowl is a klisheni and the ladle is an extension of the klirishin. That's why the ladle is a big discussion, right? Is the ladle the klisheni and your soup bowl is the klishlishi, in which case you could soak your bread in it or not. But klishlishi, the Mishnah Berurah says, that's allowed. And where does the heter of klishlishi come from? I'm sorry, but even klishlishi, that's already mentioned over there by the Mishnah Berurah, quotes in the name of the Prima Gadim. The array of klishlishi is not entirely without controversy. You shouldn't think klishlishi like everyone holds of klishlishi. The array, look over here, Oisir Aleph, doesn't hold this whole distinction klishlishi. The Yerayim writes, Hilkach, Yizar, Adam, Shlo, the Hachnas, Beshav, Shum, Dover, Beklisheni. You can't put your bread in Klisheni. Ba'af, Beklishlishi, Sheyah, Soletis, Boy, Sheinan, Bekiyah, Bedram, Rak, Bekasha, Miyom, Mizbashu, Miyom, Mizbashu. You can't even put it in Klishlishi. So Yerayim didn't hold the whole distinction. Klisheni, Klishlishi, they're all the same. It's two plus, like infinity. You know, there's no more. Once you get to Klisheni, that's it. There's no Klishlishi. But the Mishnah Berurah accepts it. So we know the Mishnah Berurah is aware of it. Yeah, you wanted to disagree with the Rav Salvechik, others held there's no distinction, klisheni, klishishi. Okay, like the Urayim. But the Mishnah Berurah accepts klishlishi. He clearly accepts it. Why doesn't he bring it up in the whole discussion by the tea to make tea in a klishlishi? Who's the one who brings up the heter of klishlishi by tea is Rav Moshe. Look over here, Oysi Gimel, Rav Moshe, and the Chulasi Gross Moshe, originally appeared in Rabbi Eider Sefer and Hilchos Shabbos. Leonias Daiti, Loinira Klau Lomer, the Ika Dvarm Shem Izbashum, the klishlishi. Rav Moshe is the one who really popularized over here the heter of klishlishi, not just by soup, but by all items. Tula matzino el should be klisheni is v'amem mishbashlin. Umemelo me'achas she'ena nuyodim ne'ishias so kol davar. So since we don't know what does get cooked in klisheni, what doesn't, we have to answer everything. Klishlishi lo matzino. We never heard of this. Then he quotes Aruch Hashulchan de'neinu rosh ti mishbashel gam be klishlishi lo muvan zeh. He doesn't accept it. And he says, please don't tell me that the water changes colors. The water would change color even if the water was cold. That's what he says. That's not a raya that tiga is cooked in a chli shlishi. So therefore, Amosha writes in the second to last line, "Mimkein ein lanu loyma me'atzmenu klum elu mikabalu memelo hu kachol sasam dvarim dehu beklisheni safek uveklishlishi yesh lehatir." Okay, so Amosha is machmir to put everything in a klishlishi. Rav Salvechik had a different, by the way, position. Just you should be aware. He says, "My grandfather," Rav Shechter quotes over here, "Rabbeinu Omar Bezel Loshen." He said, the Rav said it in this language. My grandfather was a very firm man, and he made tea in a klisheni. They had a mesera that the tea leaves are not mikalei abishol. It's like water and oil. Tea, they knew, bevados, wasn't a suffix, that tea is not mikalei abishol, so he would even make tea in a klisheni. Okay. But Rabbi said, back to the main problem. There is a het of klishishi. The Mishnah Berurah knows about it. He quotes it by the soup. Why doesn't he bring it up by the tea? So Willard suggests that the reason why he doesn't bring it up by the tea is because where do you normally cook tea? If you're a proper tea drinker, you have your silver tea set or whatever it's made out of, yeah? So if you know, you heat the water up on top of the water in the Whistler teapot, then you put it into a tea server, like, you know, and you walk around serving tea. By the time you have a tea bag, the water comes in contact with the tea bag. Where is the water and what kli? Not a klisheni, it's in a klishlishi. Because you're... the tea kettle, that's poshness. Nobody ever brought that to the table. You would put that then into a tea server. The tea server, you'd walk around serving tea. The cup was a klishlishi, so it was the derech to cook it in a klishlishi. So he claims, yes, klisheni in a mavashel, because like cooking in the sun is too far away removed from the fire. Nobody would cook so far removed from the fire. But if it would become normal, like cooking bread in a klisheni, it would be derech mishabakach. You have to be concerned. So people argued as well with regards to tea. The derech is to cook tea in a klishlishi. That's why the Mishnah Berurah never brought the heter by a klishlishi. That's why people, even though he might subscribe to the heter of klishlishi in general, with regards to tea, was more machmer. That's why in the Marosh HaKol we had no klishlishi. We had hot tea essence. Yeah.
Again, as you keep saying about people who know how to really make tea, don't people who
aren't Jewish generally boil the water and then have their boiling
hot water straight onto them? What do they use their tea set for then? What do they use the tea set for?
Have you ever seen a tea set?
Yeah.
Why do they sell them? If you would go to Buckingham Palace, they would serve you tea in a klishlishi. Yeah? I would assume. I would be embarrassed if not. Yeah?
How often do the Chabad Chaim go to the Buckingham Palace?
That's the proper way. That's the normal way. I think now they've preserved what used to be. So, and I think, and proper tea drinkers, oftentimes you can have, well, the derech was, in the, at least in the times of Mishnah Berurah. Maybe you'll say now it's not the case. Okay.
Was the derech to drink tea in the proper manner?
But I don't think Americans drink tea even close to as much as the Europeans or certainly the British drink tea.
But I can imagine your average guy.
And tea sets have not gone out of style. They still sell them.
Yeah, but I can imagine your average person probably didn't have money to buy a fancy tea set.
I'm sure they had out of copper and tin. No? I would presume. Not everybody. And maybe that was like your leichter. You got it as a wedding gift. It's a silver tea set. I don't know. Do we have anybody here from the UK? I think that that's how they drink tea. It's fair argument. At least in the times of Mishnah Berurah, that was certainly the case. They were much more formal in those days in terms of, you know, how they serve things. Yeah.
So you mentioned that the proper way to make tea was to have the tea in the cup and then pour over that.
Right. So okay. So iri klisheni. Okay. That's it. Rav Moshe though has a fascinating point with regards to the tea. If you look over here in the Igros Moshe, he asks, why is the tea? We know spices one is allowed to put in a klisheni. So we must say, because spices, no mercy, we must also say, because spices, they knew. Like Rav Salvechik said by the tea, they knew that it wasn't kalei abishol. So, Rav Moshe asks, isn't tea just spices? No? Tea is spices. V'alkafe, einu mavusho, v'alkein, koko, she'ein echolim, v'urak l'tavon, l'chere him v'alei v'chol stam tavon. V'imkein, v'furj v'masnizah, sh'b'klisheni, einu mizbashim, v'tein l'chitin l'chachiga, why can't then you put your tea into a klisheni? It should be no different than spices, which we know is no masik mevashim. We must assume that they also had a messiah. It was not mikalei abishol. So why can't you put your tea into a klisheni? But Maisha says that the last line, umaisa tzarecha koponim ahachma beklisheni, mutter beklishishi, but he raises the issue, why shouldn't be mutter in a klisheni? So in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and Rabbi Eider has this as well, in Oysen and Hay, at least he quotes over here from Shlomo Zalman, that our spices are not the same as their spices. Their spices, they knew, they didn't get cooked in a klisheni, Because they were putting like a whole peppercorns and things. You know, there were whole big roots and stuff. You know, the big things. Ours are, we have these little flimsy spices. They came and changed Dakimoi, culture came and changed Mizbash and Gabba Klisheni. Our spices are more flimsy than typical foods and certainly would get cooked in a Klisheni. Our tavlin are not the same as their tavlin, which is important. Even though tavlin, the Shulchan Aruch says you can put it in a Klisheni, according to the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, name of Shlomo Zalman, Rabbi Adar as well. The Ara Tavlin you cannot put in a Klisheni, it has to be Chayshish as Mikalei Abishol. One could have argued, Rabbi Adar goes on to argue, he says, why is it mutter to put spices in Klisheni? Why is there no Mersikim of Ashel? Because it's not the main dish. What's the main dish by the tea? The main dish by the tea is the tea bag. So that's not, how can you call that Tavlin? That's not an afterthought, that's the main dish. So Rabbi Adar was machmir the tea bag for that. Not only because our spices are not the same as their spices, even if, how can tea be spices? Spices are something that are extra to the dish, not something that are the main course. Rabbi Willig disagreed with that suggestion of Rabbi Adar. He said, if it's so main, how do you take it and throw it in the garbage after you're done cooking the tea? So it must be that the tea leaves are not the main dish. Interesting point. Wherever do you cook something and throw it in the garbage? So, okay, maybe it is spices, maybe it's not spices. Either way, the Paiskim are not willing to buy the fact that since it's spices, it's mutter and klisheni. Many would argue our spices are not the same as their spices, and then certainly the tea also wouldn't be the same as their tea. So, Ramesh recommends that it should be made in a klishlishi. Rav Soloveitchik allowed it in a klisheni. So, someone wants to do like that, they're Mesera. And those who follow the Mishnah Berurah wouldn't even be making a klishlishi. They would dafka require a different hetter, maybe the tea essence, either cold tea essence, put it in a klisheni, if hot water and achayshish, the tea essence which is cooked is mekalei avishol, or preferably even maybe hot tea essence. All of these acceptable approaches with legitimate sources. Yeah.
So according to Vider, if you did have whole peppercorns or whatever they used,
you had traditional spices like they had in their time. I don't know. I was being dramatic. I don't know what they had in their time. So I don't know. Peppercorns are just one of these things you see. It's like gigantic.
Oh, if we had whatever they had, whatever it is, you do some analysis and you find out what they used to use for tea 2,000 years ago.
In theory, you'd be right, yeah. One final issue is what about, we said we have to be cheshish for other items. Everything that's not water and oil, we have to be cheshish is mikalei abishol. What about other liquids? That's food items that may be kalei abishol. What about other liquids? Do we have to be like milk? Do we have to be choshish that that's, you know, even if it hasn't been cooked, do we have to be choshish that that's mikalei abishol or not? So look back at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said, in Shin Yud Ches, Sif Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel, give it to you over here, Ois Ches, Muta Liten Kiton Shomayim, Ois Shal Shar Mashkim, Biklisheni. You're allowed to put a container of water or any other liquid in a klisheni. Does he mean only oil or all liquids? Probably means all liquids. So all liquids, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, you see from here, liquids, we never had to be choshish on mikalei abishol. You can put them indiscriminately into a klisheni. The Mishnah Berurah, though, why did he allow you to put your cold tea essence into a hot klisheni? It's only because the tea essence has already been cooked. And even though the Ramah is machmir v'snestan l'agami, you shouldn't heat it up again, we really hold ein bishalach habisha b'davalach. That's just not to lead to confusion. Really, that's why he allowed it. So you see from the Mishnah Berurah that he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that we have to be choshish that all other liquids might be mikalei abishol other than water and oil. We have to be choshish that other liquids, maybe even tea essence, is mikalei abishol and can't be put in a klisheni. The only reason he allowed tea essence was because it was already cooked once before. And we don't have to put those two chumras together. But all other liquids, maybe you should be choshish. What about the sifin? It's a beferish of sifin Shulchan Aruch. What would the Mishnah Berurah do with that? So the many achronim explain that the Mishnah Berurah would argue that there it's different, because there we're discussing. Look back at the language of the Shulchan Aruch. Muta litein kitoin shomayim, oishal shamashkim. You're putting a container with water into a klisheni. So even though other liquids might get cooked in a klisheni, not when it's in a container. The container will protect it from getting cooked. This is based on a comment of the Marasho. Look at the last item of the Marasho. The Marasho writes, Masech Leshavs, on the Testament Aleph. And what Tosfos said, the Tosfos said, one is allowed to put spices into a klisheni. So he asked, what about shemen? Uh, I'm sorry. Shemen be'en lo shayach be'lomatek. Why is oil allowed to be put in a klisheni? Why don't we have to be choshesh that it's mikali abishu? Again, if you remember the whole story with the bathhouse, so Rebbe told him, take the oil. He wanted to heat up oil to anoint Rebbe. So he said, put it in a klisheni. Told the klisheni. So the Gemara derived from there, klisheni and a mavasha. Why don't we choshesh from mefzik and mavasha when you're heating up the oil? So the Marsha says, Yesh Lomer, the shiny husband, the mipsikli. He told him, take it in a utensil and heat up the oil. So you see, whenever it's in a utensil, then we're not chayshish for Mexican Mavash, or maybe we're not chayshish for Kali Abishol. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is discussing according to the Mishnah Berurah. Heating it up in a container, of course, then it's allowed. So you want to heat up a baby bottle in a formula which has water that was never cooked, or some other kind of milk, even if it was never cooked, whatever it is. Shamashkim, you want to heat it up on Shabbos for a baby? You have to put in a klisheni. Ooh, do we have to be chayshish that the formula is mikali abishol? Water, not the formula. Those other items mixed into it. Do we have to be chayshish as mikali abishol? The answer is usually it's heated up in a baby bottle with a kli mafsik. There, no one is chayshish, even according to the Mishnah Berurah, that would be allowed. Once you're heating it up in a kli, that's like the Shulchan Aruch, a kiton shamayim. Or shamashkim, that's allowed to be heated in a cliche. There's no mafsikim of ashram. We don't have to be chayshesh for kali abishol either when it's in a ketan. But let's say it's not going to be in a ketan. You're mixing it into the liquid, into a hot klisheni. So according to Shulchan Aruch Harav, you can mix other liquids into a hot klisheni. According to the Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like that is only mutter if it's been cooked once already. What are they arguing about? So maybe they're arguing about whether shamashkim can be cooked in a klisheni. But we would suggest that they're arguing about when one puts shamashkim into a klisheni, is he heating up the shar mashkim, or is his intention to cool down the klisheni? If your intention is to cool down the klisheni, then it doesn't look like you're cooking. If your intention is to heat up the shar mashkim, then it looks like you're cooking. Or maybe then it's derech bishabakach, and we have to be chayshesh that it's mikali abishul, get cooked in a klisheni, like putting cold water into a hot bathtub that we discussed last time. So Rabbi Willig therefore suggested, even though he's chayshish according to the Ramah, once liquids have cooled down, that there is bishul deraisa again, like the Magen Avraham told us. It's not a chumrah that once it's cooled down, we hold ein bishul acha bishul b'davalach. Once it's cooled down entirely, we shouldn't reheat it as a chumrah. We really hold yesh bishul acha bishul b'davalach, but once it's cooled down entirely, it's also le bishulo. So Rabbi Willig is left with the problem: how do you put milk which is cooled down, even if it was once pasteurized, and our milk is pasteurized, so it was once heated, how do you put it into a hot klisheni? How can you put it into your hot coffee? So Mishnah Berurah didn't have a problem with that, because he held really paskin ein bishul acha bishul b'davalach. I'm not going to put that together with the with the chumras of klisheni and kali abishul. That's too far, too many chumras together. However, we're going to say, really, we hold the yesh bishul acha bishul b'davalach. How do I put milk which is cooled down entirely into a hot klisheni of coffee? So be willing suggested that it's perhaps because when you put milk into a hot cup of coffee, is your intention to heat up the milk or to cool down the coffee? Most people, perhaps, put milk into coffee to cool down the coffee a little bit. That's why if it's very hot, they put a little more milk. If it's not so hot, they put a little less milk. So their intention is not to heat up the milk, it's to cool down the coffee. And since that's your intention, it certainly ain't derech bishul b'kach. It's not normal to cook the milk in this setting. We don't have to be chayshish from mefzikim avashel. Because instead of looking like you're heating up the milk, it looks like you're cooling down the coffee. So to put milk, even after it's cooled down, into a hot cup of klisheni of coffee, we will thought it should be mutter according to everyone. Okay. Sorry, I was a little late.